Good morning, everyone. I would like to start off by jumping to Isaiah 59, please. Isaiah 59. And we're going to read verses 7 and 8. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goes therein shall not know peace. This is the current state of the world today, a world that knows not the way of peace, that runs to shed innocent blood. This world is at war on so many levels, and it is a direct result of Satan's rebellion. The Feast of Tabernacles, however, pictures a time when the world will be completely different than the world we know today, and that we have known our entire lives. We will look at three ways in which the world is currently at war and how this will change in the coming millennium. The first point is the nature of animals. If you were to ask my daughter Isla how a bear goes, or to make an impression of a bear, she will do a vicious growl, something like this. To this little child, aside from Winnie the Pooh, all bears are vicious creatures, violent, swift to shed blood. Same can be seen when trying to watch nature documentaries. My wife and I will often go to try to watch animal program, and we start scrolling through some of the titles, and most of the time they're violent, whether it's violent titles such as crocodiles versus lions, hippo attacks. These are far from relaxing, which is the intention that a lot of times we have. And this shows a man's obsession with not only violence amongst themselves, but violence amongst animals. This is a direct opposition to the scriptures we read where the wolf, sheep, and lion will be together in peace, where the ox and the bear will be feeding together. Animals will finally know what it means to be at peace and be freed from the curse of being under Satan's influence. Second point is the nature of countries. Most of you will be familiar with this booklet, World Peace, How It Will Come. And on the cover is a sculpture inspired by Isaiah 2:4, please don't turn there, about not learning war anymore. And this sculpture was dedicated in 1959 to the United Nations, promoting the slogan, "Let us beat swords into plowshares." And it represents, as the quote here says, to represent the human wish to end all wars by converting the weapons of death and destruction into peaceful and productive tools that are more beneficial to mankind. But who are we kidding? Does anyone really believe that this is something that the United Nations or any nation in the world is trying to accomplish or even doing? In all honesty, there is no money in the plowshare market. The money is all in swords and making war. And ultimately, through the profits that are reaped by war, we are looking for more efficient ways to make war. Consider the following. The U.S. military expenditure in 2012 was estimated at $1.756 trillion. Since the United States was founded in 1776, she has been at war for 214 out of 239 calendar years. Put another way, there has only been 21 years in which the United States has not been at war. Most recently, with drones, we have also developed new ways that we can make war out of the comfort of our own bunker. And man, many of you may have seen the video put together by, it was Boston Dynamics, which is owned by Google, a video of some creepy robots running around forests, jumping over trees. It's just a matter of time until these are also used to make war. This all sounds an awful lot like Isaiah 59's swift to shed blood, does it not? Please turn to Isaiah 19 to see how nations will interact with each other in the future. Isaiah 19. And we'll read verses 23 to 25. In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and Assyria shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptians into Assyria. And they shall ram each other off of the highway in competition with each other. No, that is not what it says. Let's keep reading. And the Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be a third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall say, Blessed be Egypt my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel my inheritance. God, like any fair parent, will love and bless all of his children, all nations. Here we see a coming world where Assyria, Egypt, and Israel will cooperate with each other, serve each other, and serve with each other, all while serving God. No one will be claiming racial or intellectual superiority over the other, but loving and respecting each other, with ultimately a father loving and respecting us all. Looking around this room, I see people from different nationalities, different cultures, different ages, different experiences, different backgrounds. Today, like the Assyrians and the Egyptians one day will, we are here together saying, how can we serve with each other and how can we serve each other, all the while serving our loving God? Third point, the nature of people. We look outside the window, and aside from the rain, we see a very beautiful, peaceful, serene picture. Yet, at this very moment throughout the world, there are numerous acts of violence going on between individuals. How does God feel about that? Our God knows when a sparrow falls, knows how many hairs we have on our head. How do you think he's felt the last 6,000 years enduring, knowing all the evils that are going on in this world? Is it any wonder at all that the world will face eventually his wrath? For another example of man's animosity towards each other, just look at the comments section, or don't, of most articles online. You will see constant bickering, fighting, viciousness towards each other. This is another way in which we are digitally shedding blood, through words, through slander, and it represents ultimately a complete lack of peace. Contrasting this to Isaiah 35, please don't turn there, where we read that there will be a highway and shall be called the way of peace. When I was young in the church, I would hear this scripture sometimes in services, and I would imagine this beautiful, large highway with a sign with its name that said peace. And you'd see families traveling on the highway, letting each other in, being nice, waving at each other. And then we'd leave services and get in our car and jump on the highway, and immediately we'd see people cutting each other off, yelling obscenities at each other. And while I didn't understand the complete meaning of that, looking back now, it's amazing how even in the way that we conduct ourselves while traveling and the way that we travel is contrary to God's laws. Yet these millennial highways of peace will lead people to quiet resting places and peaceful habitations. What a wonderful time we have to look forward to, so different than anything we have seen or experienced our entire lives, where man, animals, and nations will thrive in loving obedience to the laws of God being instituted and followed in every aspect throughout the entire world. In closing, please turn to Isaiah 2. I'm cheating. I have tabs in my Bible, so I get there quicker. Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills. and all nations shall flow to it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Finally, will this cover come to pass and be a reality? And that's what we are here celebrating. Godspeed that day.